Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and for the next 25 minutes, Rabbi Schneider explains why we lose intimacy with God when we disobey. It's normal to experience dry seasons in your walk with God, but what happens when those dry spells and lack of intimacy and communication with the Father are because of our own disobedience? How can we recapture God's attraction for us? Well, that's what Rabbi Schneider is going to explain today as he explores the mysteries of the Song of Songs. Today's message was recorded in beautiful Florida outside, and if you've missed any of the messages, you can catch up online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Now here is Rabbi.
This word will change your life, I guarantee it. Those that will receive this word, it will change you. It is the most beautiful expression of King Jesus as our bridegroom in the entire Word of God. The ancient rabbis consider this the Holy of Holies of the Bible. It's a prophetic love song that illustrates God's love for His people. Of course, the original characters, King Solomon, his Shulamite bride, they were historical figures, but that's not ultimately what this word's about. Ultimately, the Song of Songs is directing us to understand how intimately Father loves us through King Jesus and how beautiful we are to Him. Now, in my earlier episodes, I talked about how the Shulamite bride was immersed in the Father's presence, immersed in Jesus' presence, in such a way that she was completely emotionally satisfied by it. But what happened was, eventually, the Lord moved what He was doing in her life. He transitioned in the realm of the Spirit from letting her just feeling emotionally connected as she basked there in His presence. Suddenly, that scene shifted, and she found that the Lord was now high up on a mountain, and the Lord called her now to arise from where she was, just basking in His presence under an apple tree. Now she had to get up and go out from under that apple tree to climb up to meet Him on top of the mountain where He was standing. Unfortunately, she was not ready, beloved ones, to climb the mountain. She was not ready to come out of her comfort zone. She wasn't ready to tackle and overcome that thing that the Lord was asking her to overcome. You see, Yeshua said in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, 7 times, he who overcomes will inherit these things. Read chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation for yourself. You'll notice there that Jesus says 7 times, to him who overcomes, I will grant with me to eat from the tree of life. I will grant to him to have a name written that no one knows but he and I. 7 different promises go out to the one that overcomes, 7 times that's stated. That's what's happening here in the Song of Songs. The Shulamite bride had become strong enough and healthy enough in the love of her lover so that now it was time for her, in the strength of that love, to tackle some things in life. And the same thing that happened in her journey happens in your journey and my journey. We remember, as I said last time, as young believers, that it seemed like God was so close to us. We felt His presence oftentimes. We saw Him doing miracles in our life. But then it seemed, as time went on, we didn't feel so close to Him anymore. Some of the miracles that seemed to happen for some of us almost daily, they seemed to stop. Why? Because God had confirmed His love to us enough. Now it was time for us to face some challenges in life and cling to Him in faith through those challenges, because His power is perfected in our weakness. This is why the New Testament tells us that we should consider it all joy when we go through various trials and temptations, because it's through going through the trials, beloved ones, and temptations, as we cling to God, fighting to overcome in Him, that our faith, the Scripture said, is established and perfected. You see, if we never face any difficulty, the roots of our faith will never grow deep. But God doesn't want to pamper us forever. He wants to pamper us enough for us to get strong And then he wants to fortify that strength that he's imparted to us by bringing us through some challenges as we cling to him through those challenges. We left off last time with Jesus moving her out from under the apple tree where she was just basking in his presence, just feeling his love, feeling his embrace, just enjoying it. And now Jesus is suddenly on top of a mountain and saying to her, now come along, it's time for you to come out from under that apple tree. You need to climb this mountain if you want to remain in fellowship with me. Again, unfortunately, she wasn't willing to do that. And so the scene ended in chapter 2 with her saying, turn away, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. Bether is a Hebrew word, and it means separation or disjunction. Her unwillingness to conquer the mountain, to do what was uncomfortable, to take on that challenge, to do that thing that was right, but she was not willing to do it, resulted in her feeling separated from Jesus. It resulted in disunity. And so suddenly this experience that she had in chapters 1 and 2, where she was feeling so immersed consciously in God's love for her when she refused to obey him, suddenly that feeling of being loved, that sense of being in his presence, it disappeared. And that's what will happen with you and I. If the Lord has specifically been putting something on your heart that he's calling you to do, maybe it's to go out and be a stronger witness for him. Maybe he's calling you to wake up early and spend time with him every morning in his word, just worshiping him, listening to devotional music. Maybe he's been calling you to break off certain relationships in social media. Maybe he's calling you to spend less time in social media. Maybe he's calling you to honor him faithfully with your tithes. Maybe he's calling you to get back connected to a local church. Maybe he's calling you to treat your spouse differently than you've been treating them. Maybe he's been calling you to be less selfish. Maybe he's been talking to you about getting your anger under control. Maybe he's been calling you to be more patient with people. Whatever it is, if we did not obey him and overcome that thing, if we did not climb the mountain, as it were, what's going to happen is we're going to lose our sense of fellowship. It's going to break our fellowship with him. That's what happened to the Shulamite bride. Jesus called her to conquer the mountain. She said, no, I don't want to hear about this. It resulted in disunity and disjunction. She lost a sense of intimacy.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. But first, did you know that you can receive real-time encouragement straight from Rabbi through text message? Visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com and click on the link that says Rabbi Text Me. Or you can text the keyword Rabbi to the number 88777. Rabbi sends these special text messages as the Holy Spirit leads, and he looks forward to connecting with you real soon. Did you know that this ministry is all about preparing the way for the inevitable return of King Jesus? Well, it's true, and we'd love for you to partner with us in this life-changing mission today. Together, we will change lives all over the world. To support this team, call 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or you can visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now here's Rabbi Schneider.
So it's with that introduction that we pick up now in chapter number 3, verse 1. On my bed, night after night, I sought him, whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. All of a sudden, she can't feel the love of God anymore. Why? Because of disobedience. She broke the relationship through disobedience. Once again, is there something in your life that you're knowingly being disobedient about? Maybe you're in a relationship with somebody that you should not be in a relationship with. What fellowship has light with darkness? Some of you are lonely, and so you get into a relationship with an unbeliever. Beloved, God does not have time for that. You need to break it off. Night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. So what did she do? The next verse says, I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. But again, she says, I sought him, but did not find him. She broke fellowship by being disobedient. She realized that I can't feel him anymore. So she begins to search for him, but in her search, she can't find him. Why can't she find him? Because she's searching in the wrong place. She's not repenting and going to the mountain, conquering the thing that Jesus told her to conquer. Again, she's going into the streets and into the squares. She's going into the world, looking for him in the world, trying to cover up her disobedience, searching for him in all the wrong places. She wasn't seeking him by doing what the Lord was calling her to do. She was running around the world trying to find him, and you know what? It didn't work. What about you? What has God called you to repent of in your life? What has he called you to change? You're not going to find him just by listening to worship music. You're not going to find him by, you know, trying to drown out your sorrows in alcohol or whatever it is. You're not going to find him in the streets and in the squares. You're not going to find him in social media and on TV. You're only going to find him, beloved one, and I'm only going to find him when we do what he's asking us to do. When we conquer that thing, he's asking us to conquer. I remember years ago, for me, it was anger. I finally realized that I could not blame people for my anger, that I had to own my own anger, that it wasn't somebody else's fault that I was angry. It was my fault that I was angry. And when I got a hold of that, it revolutionized my life. I remember the first time I was put to the test on this. I had finally been brought to the understanding that I needed to take responsibility for my own anger. It was breaking my relationship with the Lord, and it was hurting my relationship with my family. And one of the things that would really set my anger off was when my wife would run late. Cynthia's just a different, you know, she's wired a lot differently than me. I'm very goal-oriented. I'm very task-oriented. Cynthia's very relational, just has a different way of looking at things. And, you know, she's actually relationally a much stronger person than me. But there was a challenge with her being so relational in that she wasn't maybe as precise enough with maybe some of her appointments at the time. She's much, much better now. Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord. It's not become such an issue at all anymore. But I'm going back now 15 years ago. So the Lord showed me, you need to take responsibility for your anger. You need to overcome that. It's getting in the way in your fellowship with me, and it's time for you to tackle that. So I remember the Lord brought me to this place of awareness, and the first big test came when I had a really important ministry assignment. And I was called to preach in downtown Toledo, Ohio on a Saturday for a big revival. They had actually blocked off the streets and everything, and I was the main speaker. And so it was time for Cynthia and I to leave, to drive down to the inner city of Toledo where I was gonna be preaching. And I had shared, I shared about it with Cynthia. And, you know, sure enough, Cynthia was late. And I was so upset. We're driving over there. Cynthia's driving. I was fuming. I was so mad. It seemed like every cell in my body just wanted to explode and scream at her. You did it to me again. You made me late. Don't you understand? But you know what? The Lord had convicted me before. He said, you need to take responsibility for your anger and stop blaming it on anybody else. So it took all the strength I had to keep from lashing out at Cynthia and yelling at her, blaming her for making me late. But I did it by the grace of God. And you know what happened? Something in me permanently changed. It took all the strength I had to keep my anger back and to not let it out. And I was obedient, and somehow in that, the Lord rewired me. And he'll do the same thing for you. You are dealing with something. God is calling you to overcome that thing. And beloved, when you do, you're going to overcome and you're going to be walking at a whole new level with Jesus. Let's continue on as we get back to the text. I sought him, but did not find him. She's looking in the street. She's looking in the city. She's looking in the world. It's not solving the problem. But notice the next verse. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. So now she's looking in the wrong places, but now somebody comes to her aid. I believe these watchmen are prophetic symbols of angels, because it wasn't her seeking for the watchmen. The watchmen, God's angels, came to her. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me. And I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. And when she did, she said, I held on to him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the room of her who conceived me. So once she had suffered long enough for her disobedience, once she was an heir long enough, looking in the wrong places, the Lord had mercy. And he sent these watchmen, I believe again, a prophetic shadow of angels to her. And they help her. And no longer had the angelic help left that she said, I found him whom my soul loved. I found him. And she said, once I found him, I determined in my heart, I'm going to never let this happen again. I'll never make the same mistake again, King Jesus, of being disobedient to you. I never want to suffer like that again. So she says here, when I found him whom my soul loves, I held on to him and would not let him go. Let me ask you, have you come to the place in your relationship with the beautiful Lord Yeshua, that in your heart you have purposed truly and deeply that you're never going to let him go? Have you been through enough ups and downs? Have you been through enough with him that you're clinging on to him and saying, I'm never going to let you go. No matter what happens to me, I'm never going to let myself be sidetracked again. I'm never going to let temptation bring me out of your love again. I have purpose and I will not relent. I will never let you go again, King Jesus. I have determined my direction. I know what my purpose is. I know who I am. I know what my identity is. I know what my calling is. I know that you, Lord Jesus, are my treasure and my portion. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Jesus, thank you for raising me and saving me and rescuing me. I will never, by the grace of God, Baruch Hashem, ever let you go again. And notice what she says next. Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held on to him and would not let him go. Listen to this. Until I brought him to my mother's house and into the room of her who conceived me. She says, I'm going to hold on to him as hard as I can, and I'm going to bring him into my mother's house and into the room where my mother conceived me. What she's saying, I'm going to bring you in now, Jesus, to the deepest places in my heart. I'm going to bring you into the deepest recesses of my soul. I'm going to bring you into the room where I was conceived, and I'm going to open my heart to you about my entire life. I'm going to share my entire journey with you. I am going to be so open to you, so transparent to you. I'm going to pour all my love upon you. I'm going to bring you into the room where I was conceived to become one forever with you. Beloved, does that describe your relationship with God? Is that what you want? That's what we're called to. I have brought him into the room where my mother conceived me. As I close this broadcast today, I want to encourage you, talk to Jesus about everything. Tell him everything. Go back to the room where you were conceived. Go back to the beginning of your life. Go back to the beginning of your journey on this planet and open up to the Lord. Talk to him about everything. Share with him every trauma, every memory. Open your heart to him, beloved, so he truly becomes not only your best friend, but your true and only lover. On behalf of Father today and King Jesus, I want you to know that you are more loved than you could ever comprehend. And you're on a journey into discovering how cherished and how treasured you really are. He is the lover of your soul indeed.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus and a message by Rabbi Schneider titled Losing Intimacy Because of Disobedience. Maybe you're listening today and you've realized that you may not have an intimate relationship with God because you don't know Jesus. Well, I want to invite you to go to our website and discover God's Son, Jesus, for yourself. It's only through Him alone that we can have the loving relationship with God that Rabbi was talking about today. And you'll discover who He is and why He loves us, no matter who we are and what we've done. Just click the link that says Find Jesus in the middle of our homepage at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Accepting Jesus as your Savior, it's the first step into a wonderful journey. And when you make that commitment, we want to hear from you because we've got a couple of resources that we'd like to send you for free as our way of saying welcome to the family. And if you do know Jesus and you want to make sure that others know about Him too, then be sure to go online to learn how you can support this ministry this year. Now here is Rabbi to share a little bit more about that.
The Scriptures teach us that no good thing does He withhold from those that love Him. Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us." As we come to the close of the broadcast today, I want us to ask ourselves, are we adequately loving God with our wealth? I know that many of us have heard messages on this before, and as soon as we hear a discussion about finances, we're kind of jaded, it turns us off. But the reality is, the Scriptures are clear that God's people are called to honor Him with the first fruits of their wealth. I just want to ask you today, beloved one, if God is blessing you through this ministry, would you honor Him with your wealth through this ministry? The Scripture tells us that when we honor Him with our lives, it comes back to us, pressed down, good measure, running over into our lives. Let's trust Him, let's honor Him, and let's love Him. I want to thank you in advance for your love and for your gifts. God's richest blessing on your life. I love you, and shalom.
To give a gift of any amount today, or if God is calling you to partner with us this year, then please get in touch with us right now. We've made it easy to give online when you visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com or give when you download the Rabbi Schneider app on your favorite mobile device. You can also call 800-777-7835 to speak with one of our friendly team members. And finally, you can also text the keyword Rabbi to the number 45777 to give by text message. As a token of our thankfulness for your partnership, we'll send you several gifts of appreciation, including our most recent newsletter that's filled with tons of special insights and crusade updates, which will be happening again soon. And then, if you have a few moments today, please take some time to share your story with us. You can connect with us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call and speak to one of our ministry reps when you dial 800-777-7835. Thanks for sharing this half hour with us today. And now here is Rabbi Schneider once again to close the program with a special blessing.
In the Old Testament book of Numbers, we find a blessing God speaks over His children through Moses and Aaron. It carries the idea of favor and expression. Open your heart to the Spirit and the Word today and receive Father's goodness into your life with confidence.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha vihunecha Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again next time when Rabbi Schneider presents a message titled, Christ's Bride and Solomon's Couch. That's Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.